The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now, after the Sabbath had ended and the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of God descended from heaven, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. The angel's appearance was like lightning and clothing white as snow. Now the guards trembled with fear and became as dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you have come here seeking Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, but has been raised exactly as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. And then go quickly and tell his disciples, he's risen, and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there." So the women quickly fled the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples what the angel had said to them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. We have a special story time for children and young people. If you would like to follow Pastor Phil, he's going to go right out here to these big pink chairs. You can see them through the window. He's got the story about how Jesus rose from the dead and a special story called Sylvester and the Magic Pebble. Sylvester and the Magic Pebble. It's a good one. When I was growing up, I always hated this story. This story of Jesus and the crucifixion. Is anybody with me? What a terrible, horrible, awful, no good, very bad story, especially to tell children. Of course, I grew up in the church, and so I grew up with this story, which also meant that I grew up having terrible nightmares. For not only was this terrible story told all the time over and over again, it was reinforced with crosses with dead bodies hanging on them, you know, the ones I'm talking about, around people's necks and in our home and in the worship space, compounded by the fact that I was given a book of the life of the saints. This should be a good thing. However, it was not a good thing. This is another terrible, horrible, no good, very bad thing. For in this book of the saints, every page had a full color plate of the saint smiling and holding or standing near the weapon of torture with which they had been executed. And then a one-page story talking about their life and what they did to deserve this death. I was particularly drawn to Catherine of Siena because she was killed on a spike wheel. And on the full-color plate, there was a picture of her with an aura around her, and she was leaning on this wheel with spikes sticking out of it, and the wheel was broken. But I could never quite figure out how that worked. But still, this is the stuff of nightmares. We killed God. We killed God. In the beginning, the scripture tells us that God spoke into chaos and darkness and nothingness and created fish and birds and flowers and trees and every animal that roams on the face of the earth and human beings in the image of that God in loving relationship. And this is the story about how we killed God. It's terrible. And I don't know how we recover from that. How do we recover from the Lord of life coming and offering us everything that's good? And us, out of our own will or our selfishness or our ignorance or whatever that was, I think it was people wanting to be right and having power and money and position, killed God. And it's a terrible story because we're still doing it every day. I can't imagine anything worse for human beings to do to one another than to nail them to a cross and watch them die. This was not a slow thing. 3, 4, 6 hours. That's what human beings do. And if you think I'm exaggerating, all we have to do is say a few words. South Sudan, Somalia, Syria, the Middle East, Afghanistan. This is what human beings do. We, in our corruption and greed, in our wanting to stay safe and comfortable and live luxurious lives, kill one another to the point that when the God of love comes to us and offers us redemption, we kill him too. I hate this story. I'm so tired of it. I'm tired of it then, and I'm tired of it now. Is there any hope for us? Is there any hope today for all the corners of our world where people are suffering at each other's hands? Is there any hope for tribal warfare? I'm better than you, you must die. As it turns out, the story that I hate, that I hated most of my life and certainly all of my childhood, turns out to be the only story that has any hope for us at all. Because in the story of the passion of Jesus, we also have the story of the resurrection of Jesus. We have the story of a God who loves so much that God allows us to kill him. Think about that for a moment. Jesus, at any moment on the cross, could have opened up the heavens with lightning and stricken everyone dead. Jesus could have done anything he wanted. He could have brought disease and made it slow and painful. He could have caused heart attacks, earthquakes. He could have opened up the earth and caused lava to flow. But no, this is the God of love, the God who refuses to use the weapons we have at our disposal against us, even when we're killing him. In the cross of Jesus, we find a God who says, "Your ways are not my ways. Your life of selfishness and greed and violence, your life of destruction and one-upsmanship and being right is not my life. No, I'm in the business of bringing life from your business. I'm in the business of transforming you and the whole world. I will transform your violence into friendship. I'll take your weapons and turn them into jewelry." Do you know what soil is? We can thank the musician Steve Bell for reminding me of this. Soil is the stuff of death. Dead leaves, dead grass, dead animals, dead people. It's the stuff of death. And God takes that stuff of death and brings forth life. Are you seeing the life around you these days? Are you seeing that dead stuff out in our world and the green things that refuse to be held in it? I'm thinking predominantly of chives. You can't kill those things. Cannot kill those things. Rhubarb, oh my God, how many times do I have to dig you up? Or, worse yet, dandelions. Man, those things sprout up everywhere, even where nothing will grow. These are signs of the work of God. The resurrective power of God at work to bring life from everything that is violent, ugly, vile, dead, and smelly. even when it comes from us. Much as I hate the story, I'm a person of this story. We're people of this story. We're people of this God who is in the process of transforming every single thing and will not quit until nothing remains but love and peace and friendship and life. Dandelions, rhubarb, chives, strawberries, life everywhere. We killed him. But the interesting thing is, you can't kill love. You can't kill friendship. You can't kill peace. You can't kill loyalty or generosity or abundance. All the human race is trying. You watch the news. We're trying. But people of God, we're people of a story that's bigger than all of that. We're people of a God who's bigger than us. We're people of a God who is a God of resurrected life. A God of truth and justice and harmony and peace. And these are the things that win. Like the story or not, we are caught up in it. And God pleads to us, put down your weapons and get on board my train. I'm transforming everything and making it all new. Want to come along? Let's lift to God, Somalia, South Sudan, everywhere, where people are kept from the story of the God who brings new life. And go forth from this place, true to God's work, with a vision in our heart of the God who cannot be kept in the grave. He is risen.
He is risen.
And we are risen.
We are risen.
Hallelujah.